Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That is critical. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Don't forget about that great service department that just does great work, inspections, routine maintenance, difficult. They can handle it all. It's all at Sunbury Motors, one-stop shopping. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's head to the hate line.
No hate for me today, Steve. I am fired up about last night's win, let me tell you.
Well, you know what? They're down 10. I don't even remember what the number was 7-8 minutes ago in the game. It started really with defense. They finally got to the point where they were getting stops and getting stops and getting stops. They didn't always convert at the other end, but they kept getting stops. And that bought them time to then all of a sudden hit a shot. And it bought them a little more time, hit another shot. Right? And this is how, you know, they built their comeback last night. And Jalen Pickett hit a couple of shots where you sit back and go, you got to be kidding me. Really? End of shot clock stuff. You're sitting there like going, you amazing. A couple of shots he hit at various points. But Seth Lundy took over. And I always feel like Lundy has the opportunity to be on a given night. And again, on a given night, the best player on the floor. Well, last night was one of those given nights. He was the best player on the floor. And it made an incredible difference. Because down the stretch, he made one big play after another. One big shot after another. You know, the four-point play, the three-point shot, then late, the breakaway down the floor. And that was an ad-lib where he started going toward Miles Dredd, then boom, then took off down the floor. And Pete Nance took the bait. And Nance, by the way, is a really good player. I am a big Pete Nance guy. He's got a lot of his dad in him. You can see how he plays. And he took off a great pass by Miles, and then he completely got a three-point play out of it. It is always interesting. It is always interesting when the fans have such a there's such tunnel vision about their own teams. And I get that. That is the way sports has become, where you know so much about your team and you don't really take a look at the other team. It's the way it is. I got it. And I've talked about this. How many times in the show have I talked about it over the years? That, you know, when I was young, you know, there were fewer teams, obviously. Okay. I'll freely admit that there are fewer teams. But you felt like you knew something or a lot about every team. Now there's so many and so many different teams follow. So people have now just really zeroed in, especially, you know, with every game being on TV in the home market, on your team. So, of course, at the end, to now bring this full circle to last night, Dredd makes that play at the end where I don't know if it was Miles that made a mistake or Sessoms made the wrong cut, whatever. But Adige picks off the pass, goes to the corner, fires the three, trying to tie the game. And of course, now I didn't get back till 3:15 in the morning, okay? So I haven't had a chance to talk to a lot of people. Okay. Again, we're all about the student athletes. Get back at 3:15 in the morning. Thank you, Big Ten. Great schedule. And he was, oh, yeah, Penn State basketball. Oh, yeah, yeah, they'll make that big mistake. Okay, let's look at last night's game. Yes, that was a potentially big mistake, so nobody is incorrect about that. But which team hit 7 of 8 free throws in the last 4 minutes and 12 of their last 13? Penn State. Which team missed the front end of a 1-1 with under 2 minutes to play? Oh, that was Northwestern. And it's a very good free throw shooter, by the way, and a heck of a player in Pete Nance, but he missed the front end of a 1-1. Which team committed turnovers in the last 5 minutes of the game? Dribbled the ball at the foot, threw the ball out of bounds. Northwestern did. And Penn State forced a lot of that. And it was Penn State that hit the three-point shot. It's Penn State that hit the breakaway layup and a three-point play. It's Penn State that had a four-point play down the stretch. It's Penn State that executed. So, yes, one bad play, and it was a bad play, no getting around it. It turns out that Penn State actually the one that made the plays in the game down the stretch. And they took a 10-point deficit, and they won the thing by 4. Really, really a great win. You know, here's the other part. Again, okay, what does the label Northwestern tell you? Just from 30,000 feet, man. They win at Northwestern. What does Northwestern usually mean to you in basketball?
Well, first guy I think of would be Chris Collins, Doug Collins' son, as the coach.
Right, but yeah, but most people are like, it's Northwestern, right?
Well, just that overall facet, yes. But right. That was a good team. They were 8-3 right. Last night, going into last night.
Okay. It's more than that. You know what that was last night? It's quad one win.
There you go.
Northwestern was 40th in the nation coming in the net. Any victory on the road over a top 75 is quad one. So in the last two games, Penn State has picked up a quad two win over Indiana, because that game was at home. So a quad two win over Indiana, followed that up with a quad one win at Northwestern. So that was, anytime you win on the road, it's always a big deal. It always is. But a little bit better win than I think some people realize. It was quad one. Because Northwestern was ranked higher than people realized going into the game. Yeah, they were 8-3. Had some really good wins along the way. Their losses have been tough losses. You know, they lost to Michigan State, kind of let that one get away from them. Providence is a really good team. They won at Maryland. They beat Georgia. So, yeah.
Big picture for me, Steve, coming off just looking at last night, you're finally seeing what a Micah Shrewsbury team looks like, relying on defense to make plays late. And it's come at the right time, and it's gotten them 2-0 in conference play so far. Now we're really going to find out what they are made of against the Purdue team, third ranked, but struggling. They've lost 2 in a row. Those teams don't usually lose 3 in a row, but Penn State's at home.
Purdue got a chance
to really make a statement.
Purdue has not lost 2 in a row. They've lost 2 games, but not 2 in a row.
Oh, 2 games, I'm sorry, yeah.
And Penn State's 2-2.
Penn State's got a chance to make a statement.
And Penn State's 2-2 in the conference. Because remember, they've already played Ohio State at home and Michigan State in the December part.
Right.
So, Just for accuracy's sake, I didn't want anybody to think, hey, you know, they're 2-0. No,
yeah, my fault. I forgot about the two games.
No, I live it, so you know, it's okay. I live it, so I've got to know it. But that is, that's really a terrific win. Now, as to how Micah wants to play, you'll see by the third season how he really wants to play. He doesn't want to play low possession games, but he has to because this is the team. He has really good coaches look at their personnel, and they say, you know what? What's the best way to win with this group? So that's why they're playing low possession games, because he feels that's the best way to win with this group. You notice what he's recruited, though. He's recruited length, and he's recruited speed and athleticism. All right, so I think he wants to ratchet up the tempo. You know, not 80 possessions a game, but he does want to be at 63 to 65 a game. He'd like to be in the low 70s somewhere. That, by the middle of the third season, you'll see that. But he's done a great job of looking at this team and saying, okay, this is what I have. What's the best way to win with this collection of players? He's done a really good job with that so far. Penn State will play Auburn in football in September down at Jordan-Hare on the Plains. We all know Bo Nix has transferred to Oregon. Today, Auburn got a commitment for a transfer in, Zach Calzada, the former Texas A&M quarterback who helped engineer the win over Alabama, threw for 2,185 yards and 17 touchdowns for Texas A&M, has transferred to Auburn. So the portal is open. The suit has transferred out. And Tony has transferred in. It's amazing how the tone of the show has taken a dramatic turn for the better.
Oh, my almighty!
Oh, I hate the show. Oh, my goodness. All right. Great win last night for them. Now you come back. So I was kidding Mike at the end of the game. I said, if you guys could just come up with a scouting report for Saturday, that'd be great. He says, yeah. He says, between Eifert and myself, we might come up with something.
Probably.
All right, we'll come. Yeah. Scouting report won't be. I mean, look, I can do a partial scouting report on this group. I mean, to be honest with you, because they haven't really changed. You know, they've just got older. And I just, no offense, but Jaden Ivey, you should have gone to the NBA last year. Oh, the one area where I thought where Jaden Ivey needed to improve his game, mid-season last year, I looked at Dick. I said, he's got to be a better outside shooter. You know, better with the three. The end of last year, he started shooting the three pretty well. He is really shooting the three very well this year to go with everything else he does. He is a highlight reel. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Member of the Tampa Bay Bucks, but with the Penn State theme music, congratulations to LeVar Arrington, College Football Hall of Famer in 2022. Well-deserved. Think the world of him. I mean, I've had so many. The College Football Hall of Fame does take time. It does take. I mean, you don't see guys 5 years after their college career and they're in. That doesn't work like the NFL. Look how long it took Shane Kylan to get in. Yeah. It just takes more time in the college game. I mean, Steve Wisniewski's still not in. He should be in.
Agreed.
But LeVar Arrington, I'm thrilled for. Over the years, I've had so many conversations with LeVar, and you just cherish every one of them you have with him because he's just great guy to talk to, be around. And I'm so happy for him. Deserves it very, very much. Now, Antonio Brown. This is where you come in. You're a big Antonio Brown fan.
Oh, boy.
You know, to be honest with you, here's a big problem Antonio Brown has right now. Nobody cares. Nobody.
Yes.
He might as well, when he's talking about, or his agent or his lawyer are talking about whatever the issue is, they might as well be talking to a wall. Most people are like, yeah, okay, it's grown old. No. I mean, nobody is listening to him. Nobody cares anymore about what his problem, his issue, whatever it may be, what he perceives it to be. Nobody cares. That's not good when people don't care. You care because you like to complain.
Well, he just has zero credibility, and the fact that he's been given this many chances is already absurd, but not surprising. But I'm sure there'll probably be another team stupid enough to try to bring him in and see what he can do.
I don't think
but,
so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I hope it's that way.
Teams should have had enough with him.
I think that. Well, I think Tom Brady had a lot to do with this because Brady likes him.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And this is not going to be a case where anybody else is going to look around and say, yeah, this is the guy we need to have. I don't think that's going to happen. I think his career is over. And it's bizarre because most entities, well, first of all, if he were an average to better than average player, he wouldn't be in the league with everything he's done. He wouldn't be in. Wouldn't be there. The vax card thing, there is no way in the planet he'd still be there. And that's the other part that kills him in all of this, that just crushes his argument. I'm supposed to believe you after you were accused and suspended for essentially lying?
Exactly.
Now I'm supposed to believe you? Now I'm supposed to believe you? But you are accused of and were suspended for lying. That's why he was suspended. He was suspended for lying. And guess what? I'm supposed to believe you now? His big problem right now in his career is that he could talk to the wall. Nobody cares what he has to say anymore. Nobody. And that's a big problem. When apathy becomes your biggest issue, you're done.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So LeVar Arrington into the College Football Hall of Fame. Penn State basketball, big win last night. Eagles have won 7 of their last 9 games. And it's just destroying Matt's mojo. Too much positive news.
I'm all for it. It's okay.
No, you thrive when it's negative. Thrive. Ah, boy.
It's a nice change of pace every once in a while.
Yeah, but you seem uncomfortable. Seem very uncomfortable with all this. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Anthony is doing a great job. Tony running the show today. Suits out selling something. We don't know what, but... Yeah. And there we are. So Calzada is an interesting pickup for Auburn. Very interesting. And again, something we would never see years ago, a guy transferring within a conference. But everything's different now. Everything is different. And you now have guys doing that. But Calzada is going to go to Auburn, and the only reason I bring it up is because Penn State plays Auburn. He might be the guy that Penn State has to face. That's why I mentioned it in the news and notes there. Also, there was this that happened. This is a question of when somebody ad-libs something and they don't know what they're talking about because you're not prepared. You have to be prepared. If you're not sure about something, don't say it. Right? And that is the Kevin Porter Jr. story last night. And Glenn Consor. Not met Glenn before. And he said he was the son of former Wizard Kevin Porter. It's not true. He's not. And it gets even worse. Because his father, Kevin Porter Jr.'s father, is Brian Kevin Porter Sr. He pleaded guilty to first-degree manslaughter in the shooting death of a 14-year-old girl in 1993. He ended up being sentenced to 4 years and 6 months in prison for the crime. Then in 2004, he himself was then shot and killed in Seattle while attempting to help someone being attacked. Okay. That was Porter Jr.'s father. And this is a case of a broadcaster ad-libbing, not being prepared, making a huge mistake. I mean, a huge mistake. If you don't know, don't say it. So, and, of course, LeBron James. Oh, we thought he was cool, huh? Nah, we ain't going for this. Sorry, but this ain't going to fly. How insensitive can you be to say something like this? Beat it, man. I pray for you, but there's no place in our beautiful game for you. Again, bad mistake, but it's a mistake of a lack of preparation and knowing your topic. All right, let's get to Mark Pavlik. Believe it or not, men's volleyball season starts, and two of the best in the nation are scoring off tonight in Rec Hall and Saturday night. Mark Pavlik. My old friend, head volleyball coach, Penn State men's volleyball. Sir, welcome. I know you love the Steelers. They're still hanging in there. Great to have you with us.
With that, we bring in Mark Pavlik, the outstanding head men's volleyball coach at Penn State. Pav, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Let's get your season rolling. It's all you. What are you, five right now? I think you're five, something like that, and BYU six.
Yeah.
You always, play a great schedule. How important was it to get out of the gate in your mind when you schedule something like this to find out early what you have and what you need to work on?
I think this in most years, I think that is exactly why we did this year with the return, with the entire group returning, and after the year we put together last year, I think it was more along the lines of, hey, let's get the 2x4 of competitive reality across the bridge of the nose early. And how good can we be, knowing that we're going to be facing some teams that are going to be very good. BYU kicks off this weekend, Grand Canyon, who I know everybody looks at like Grand Canyon University.
They're good.
Top 10 team, one of the best outside hitters in the country, and coached by a PA product, the Juniata grad, Matt Worley, played for the national team. And then SC, UCLA, and Santa Barbara, and Long Beach. Welcome to January. So it's going to be a brutal month for us, but I think our guys, we've been there, done that. Now we got to be there, do that the entire year. So let's start it off.
All right, so let's get into an interesting philosophical question. All right, I have no idea what that is. And that is, we'll start with, okay, people think there's carryover from one year to the next. I always believe that one of the important elements that any coach has to do is to convince each team they're 0-0 and you're starting fresh in this year and you can't rest on last year. Is that accurate in your mind? Has that been the way you've approached it, or do you believe there's carryover?
I believe that you got to convince them they're 0-0, but the arrows in their quiver this year are different than the ones last year.
Right. Well,
And I think to your point, how do you use what you learned last year, starting 0-0 this year?
Well, see, I think there's a different starting point in your preseason, because you're, as a teacher, you're reminding them of stuff because they're veterans, and then you can add to it. I think that's a big difference.
It is, and I think especially in the collegiate model, right? Because everybody has turnover.
Yeah.
And BYU, out of their 20 guys on their team, I think there's 14 or 15 that are first or second year guys. There's 10 first year guys in their program this year. So I'm sure what Sean's doing in his gym, a little bit different. It may be the same thing we did in our gym 2 years ago. But you're right. You got to go in. I think the understanding where they ended the season last year, understanding what they gained through the summer, and then going into the fall saying, okay, we can maybe begin with more systems-oriented tweaking than necessarily individual volleyball 101 at Penn State. Here's what you need to know for being on the court was our approach this year. So, but I'm right with you. I think every good team knows that last year means nothing in terms of wins and losses, but the experience gained, if used correctly, is going to help them navigate through this season.
What kind of preseason did you have?
Pretty good one. One of the things we had a great summer. We had four of our guys train with the National Team Development Program in California, in Anaheim. We had Brett Wildman train for a couple of weeks before the national team went to Italy for the VNL week in May. And when they came back from Italy to prepare for the Olympics, they brought Brett back into the gym with him. So, I mean, he was there with Maddie, Max, Aaron, all the guys you saw at the Olympics this year. So we came in knowing we had to do some things to make sure that we didn't burn these guys out, because they all had a very good, heavily invested summer. And the guys that didn't play in any of the structured opportunities that were out there, I think at one point we had 10 or 11 guys here in State College for the summer lifting and playing every day. So we didn't need to overkill this fall. We just needed to refine, and I think the guys did a good job of buying into that. And it just seemed like this group, when they get on the court for any training session, for any match, competitive situation, they make the most out of it. They do a good job of training hard and training and having fun with it. This is a fun group to be in the gym with. I really enjoy these guys.
I mean, with Will Bantle and Sam Marsh, and you've got Cal Fisher and Brett Wildman. But I got to get to Cole Bogner. Does he think the way the coaches think as a setter?
Yeah, and I think in the game of volleyball, not only does he have to think like we think, he has to think like his hitters think. He has to understand where the windows are that he's got to put the ball for Fish, as opposed to putting the ball for Brett or putting the ball for Sam versus Toby. And that's the thing that I've liked so far this year, is that has continued from where it left off last year. And I'm real excited about tonight to see that in play. It's January January volleyball, we're going to do some things that I'm going to sit on the bench and say, haven't we played this game before?
Didn't we work on that?
Yeah, but we don't have to be great right now. We've got to keep reminding ourselves that our strengths are what we believe in, and we know what we can do well, so let's do them well. And then let's just keep building toward April and May, the time you really want to be your best for EIVAs and NCAAs.
That's okay.
So it should be fun.
Well, Sean Olmstead is going to be saying the same thing on his bench.
I think so.
Hey, last year you led the nation in aces along the way. Man, you're also fourth in hitting percentage. But what has that meant to keeping teams off balance, and how important is it going to continue to be in this season, considering you have guys that know how to put it in a spot with power?
Yeah, I think the serve in today's men's collegiate game is taking on a little bit of the personality of where blocking used to be in the men's collegiate game.
That's a good point.
When the offenses were higher and slower, and everybody could get to a point of attack, and big guys got across the net, and you could stuff balls, you could slow balls down, and there was an intimidation factor with that. Now, the speed of the game, the athleticism that's out on the court, you can negate a little bit of blocking by just going faster than they can move. The serve, I think, takes that intimidation factor and places it on your ability to dictate to your opponent, you're not going to do what you want to do with your offense because of our serving. And you and I have had discussions about the missed serves in the men's game.
Yeah.
But I think because you come off the women's season where you hear coaches talk about, we missed five serves that game. I'm sitting there saying, just give me five misses. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think in the men's game, the ball that you just keep in play as a server, they pass perfectly. They become very physical with it. They bounce it. And what happens? You've got this rush of adrenaline and testosterone on the other side of the net saying, we're better than you can be. Now, you get a good physical server and you run some points, then if they miss a serve, the response on the other side of the team is not that testosterone given, we're better than you are. It's like, oh, thank you for missing. We don't have to worry about that now. So it's almost a deference to your physicality. And I think in the men's game, the team that defers most to physicality loses.
Yeah, because I think, I'll use a tennis analogy. I think 25 years ago, men's volleyball was a lot like playing tennis on clay. Now it's like playing on grass.
I agree with that, and I'm not a big tennis aficionado, but I know your analogy, and I think that's a very valid one.
So what kind of pressure does this put on, for example, a Will Bantle, for example, to be really, not just really good at digging the ball out, but the ability to dig it and pass it?
Yeah, his ball control is the thing that we count on him for. He's had a great summer. He's had a great fall. Is he the quickest guy out there? No, but his platform is pretty pure. It enables us to at least go quicker to the pins if it's not perfect, because Will just battles his butt off against any good server. And the great thing about having Will in our gym is the fact that he gets to see Fish and Brett and Sam.
Yeah.
And those serves day to day to day. And I think this year what we do have, we have a radar gun up in a display in the gym, so our fans are going to come in and they're going to be able to have some type of feel for the physicality of the game, see who hits 65, 66, see if we can break 70 on a jump serve and in. And I think that'll be fun for them.
Well, it's going to be tonight at 7 and Saturday at 7, both in the main gym of Rec Hall, and admission is free for all home regular season matches. So off and rolling, and the first of many conversations during the course of this winter and spring, my friend. Good luck tonight.
Well, always look forward to speaking with you, and come on over to the office at some point. You gotta,
that sounds good.
At the, you know, Rec Hall is the Betty White of athletic facilities. You know when you're in here, something good's going to happen. You're going to walk away, and maybe not quite as shiny and polishy as younger versions, but boy, Rec Hall is the place you want to be.
Oh, it is. It is, you know. And, yeah, it's also got that area in the back, too, you know, behind the bleachers. So, okay. I'll leave it at that.
All right.
All right. Well,
hey, you have a good one. Good talking to you.
Hey, good talking to you. Good luck tonight and good luck Saturday. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Mark Pavlik, head volleyball coach, men's volleyball, Penn State. End of the season ranked fifth. So they got tonight, that's going on. Tomorrow, you've got hockey with Notre Dame, and you have wrestling with Maryland. Saturday, you've got basketball with Purdue at noon, hockey with Notre Dame, and also men's volleyball with sixth-ranked BYU, and then Sunday at 2 o'clock is wrestling with Indiana. Quite a sports weekend here. Quite a sports weekend. All right, we'll come back. Matt has a series of complaints. You know, we thought maybe it would take the NFL to expand the playoffs to 30 teams to get them in. Turned out they didn't have to. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So big Penn State weekend, wrestling tomorrow with Maryland, Sunday at 2 with Indiana, men's volleyball tonight, BYU, number 5 against number 6 at 7, same two teams Saturday night, Notre Dame men's ice hockey tomorrow, Saturday night, and of course men's basketball with third-ranked Purdue at noon on Saturday, and Penn State's won 2 in a row. So there you go. So big sports weekend here. Looking forward to it. You know, and you want to sit down and watch the Cowboys and the Eagles. We're all going to go over to Matt's place and watch a guy be a basket case for 3.5 hours.
Nah, that won't happen this week. Nobody's playing, the game doesn't matter. On both sides now.
90 days. 90-day rule.
Yep.
Don't forget it. 90-day rule in the NFL. Don't have to be tested. Aren't you happy you showed up on the show yesterday to learn that fact?
It was a good reminder.
All right, more next hour.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.